Luke chapter 7, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 17. I want to just read two sections. This is going to be about two stories, and I want to read just a comment from each of these stories. The first one found in verse 6, where we're simply told that Jesus went with them. And then in verse 13 from the other story, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.'" Here in Luke 7, we have two stories of two very different people. And as interesting as each of these stories is in and of itself, Luke wants us to read them together. He's placed them together on purpose. And so we're going to hear about two very different people. There's a Gentile and there's a Jew. There's a man and a woman, a soldier and a mother. One strong, one is weak. The man is surrounded by those who are ready to do whatever he says. The woman is all alone in the world with no one to help her. But these two people have much in common. Both of them are marginalized by the men of Israel. The man is a foreigner. He's a Roman soldier. The woman is a woman. She's somebody in this culture that is not to be seen nor heard. And so they've been marginalized. But both of them have gained some favor among their neighbors. The soldier, as we will hear, is loved and he's appreciated because he has given a wonderful gift to the Jewish people. And the woman has, for some reason, the sympathy of a great crowd of people who will gather around her. Both had someone in life that they loved and cared for. The soldier had a servant. The woman had a son. Both stories have to do with death. The servant is at the point of death. The son has already died. And then both stories show Jesus giving back that which was lost. The servant is healed and restored to good health. And the only son is raised from the dead and given back to his mother. Two stories, two very different people, but two people who share much in common. But most importantly, two stories about Jesus and who he is for us today. A Savior that is full of compassion for people. Let's listen first to the soldier's story. It's just verses 1 through 10. Reading from the English Standard Version. "After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and to heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, 'He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation. And he is the one who built us our synagogue.' And Jesus went with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, 'Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, said, 'I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith.' And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well." On the surface, we learn something from the centurion about our life in Christ. That is, what Jesus looks for in us and what Jesus finds pleasure in his people. And I think the first thing that stands out about this man is his humility. Peter will later write that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. You notice that everyone says the centurion is worthy. Verse 4, they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he is worthy to have you do this for him. For he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue. But what does the centurion say? Verse 6, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy for you to even come under my roof. I didn't even come myself to ask you. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Some people are always thinking about works, about merit, about doing good, doing something in order to gain the favor of somebody else. And here these people come to Jesus. This Gentile is worthy because he's done something. You know, he's worthy. You should grant him this request because of what he's done. And they're also thinking in terms of pride. He did something for us. He built us the synagogue. And because he's been good to us, we want you to be good to him. But the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy. And he humbles himself at the feet of Jesus. But the thing that really amazes Jesus and gets his attention is the man's faith. The centurion clearly recognizes that there's something unique, there's something special about Jesus, and he begins to rest upon him alone for what he needs in life, for the thing that is on his heart. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. It's impossible. The book of Hebrews tells us it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And here this man is coming and he recognizes Jesus and he puts his faith in Jesus and he receives the reward. Is this your story this morning? I mean, let's not just talk about a story that's in the Bible, but is this your story? A story of humble, believing faith, to know that you and I are not worthy of any good thing. We are not worthy of anything that God has for people. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his forgiveness. We don't deserve his grace. I mean, is this your story, recognizing I'm not worthy? But then to go on and see and to embrace Jesus Christ in faith and recognizing that this is what good God has for me, embodied in this person, Jesus Christ. And this is what Luke really wants us to see in the story. What a compassionate Savior. You can just go bother Jesus. You can just stop him what he's doing and say, hey, can you come and help? And what does he do? He goes with them. You can stop Jesus. You can bother him with your messy life. You can plead your case with him. And he will drop everything and he will come. And Jesus went with them. And then what power, what authority this Jesus has for us. You know, as they get close to the house where the centurion and his servants are, the man sends a message to Jesus and says, you know, you don't really have to come. You know, you just say the word. You can do this from where you are. You can do it from a distance. You don't actually have to come all the way. And so Jesus does it. He just stands there and gives the word, and the servant is healed. Here we are, just 3 Sundays after Easter. He is risen. He's ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father. All authority in heaven and earth have been given to him. But we can't see him. The distance is too great. Jesus is not standing in the bedroom next to the dying servant and seeing what the problem is. We can't see Jesus standing next to us in our dire need. But this is where that humble faith comes in. You know, we're not worthy. But we know, Lord Jesus, that you care. And that you love us. And that you're able to meet us here, even this morning, in your word. Just say the word. That's all you've got to do. And all will be well with us. Now let's listen to the mother's story, verse 11. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier. And the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. The soldier confessed his unworthiness, and he confessed his faith in Jesus' ability and authority. What does this woman confess? Nothing. What does she do to get Jesus' attention? Nothing. She didn't send for Jesus. She didn't see him passing by and cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." She didn't throw herself at Jesus' feet and confess her unworthiness. Her son certainly didn't do anything. The whole story is one of Jesus' absolute sovereignty over life and death. He sees somebody who is in need, and he takes the initiative to do something. Jesus knows what we need better than we do. We're all hopelessly lost. We're dead toward the good things of God. We can't even cry out, "Lord, save me." And even if we could, we wouldn't know what to say. We don't even know where to begin to tell Jesus how to fix us. But Jesus steps over to where we are. He reaches out. He touches us in our deadness and creates new life. God is so rich in mercy, Paul says as he writes to the Ephesians. God is so rich in mercy. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us new life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by grace that you have been saved. And now as Christians, this is still who Jesus is. He's a Savior who is full of compassion, willing and able to help us deal with whatever may come our way. He's with us to comfort us. Again, verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he sees our pain. He sees our loneliness. He sees the darkness, the confusion, and he cares. And he wants to bring our weeping to an end. And then he's with us to strengthen us no matter what we face in life. Go back and look. Notice how Luke describes the boy in verse 12. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. He's dead. The only son of the mother. What Luke actually writes is, this is her only begotten son. His mother's a widow, her husband has died, and she's all alone. And this great crowd of mourners that are around her are of very little comfort. When you lose somebody that's closest to you, you still feel so much alone. Did Jesus foresee something of his own bitter suffering in this situation? The only begotten son of his father, his mother Mary, a widow, that he would die on the cross and that he would be carried out to be buried. Jesus has been there and he's done that. He's been in that situation of hopelessness. Hebrews says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Certainly, Jesus knows how to help us, to strengthen us in our own struggles when we are faced with great testings of our faith. And then he's also with us with a promise to reunite us with our loved ones. Verse 15. And Jesus says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Such a touching scene. The poor woman who's left all alone in the world, her only begotten son has died, her husband has died. She's in this huge crowd of people, but they're of no help. She gets to walk back home with the son that death had taken from her. Jesus reunites these two people who loved each other. Jesus didn't demand of the young man, "Take up your cross and follow me." He says, "No, you go home with your mother." That's the promise of our compassionate Savior this morning, a promise that we can look forward to with humble faith. Is there somebody that you long to see again? A loved one, parents, husband, wife, a child that died. Yes, we all want to see Christ. I mean, that's the right answer that Christians are supposed to give. We began the service with that verse in 1 John. Beloved, We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. That is the great hope of the Christian, is to see our Savior, Jesus Christ, and by seeing him to be transformed finally into that very image of God's Son. But is there someone else that you long to see? For me, it's my parents. There's things I'd still like to ask them. When my mother died about 16 years ago, I realized I don't have any other family. I mean, there's nobody that knows whether I got a measles shot or not. You know, I can't ask simple questions like that. Had a high school friend who was in our wedding. He professed Christ, but he went through a very dark time in his life and eventually committed suicide. I'd like to see him again. I had another friend from high school. He was murdered downtown Charleston during a robbery. He professed Christ. He was getting his life together. I'd like to see him again. I'd like to ask him some questions. There's a woman that Libby and I met in Germany, and we recently have reconnected with her children after some 40 years. But Gail died before we could ever go to see her again. I'd like to talk to her. I'd like to ask about her journey of faith. What took place in all of these years? Your children have turned out well. They're going to church. You know, what was your life like? Is there someone that you long to see? That's the promise of our compassionate Savior this morning. A promise that we can look forward to with humble faith. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, said, "Do not weep. And young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Let's pray.